And I just have to share with you a little bit about the background on what we're doing today. I have always been fascinated by stained glass windows, and I think part of the reason why is when I was growing up back at First Lutheran Church in Minot, North Dakota, they had some beautiful stained glass windows. And our children's choir director, Mrs. Kildall, who was also the pastor's wife, she took us around and showed us some of the windows during choir time and explained some of the meanings behind the windows. And it was one of the most formative experiences of my childhood in developing my faith. So I thought, wouldn't it be fun, since the three congregations are meeting all together today at Mo, it would be fun to uplift some of the meanings behind the artistry in Mo's stained glass windows. We see the stained glass, but we don't always pull out all the symbolism. The creative force behind Mo's windows, I understand, is Stacy Asp of Harwood, North Dakota, Creative Glass in Moorhead, Fargo Moorhead, was working with folks here at Mo to develop the windows. And I believe I was told before the service that Pastor John Martinson was the one who kind of came up with the idea of basing the sanctuary windows upon Jesus' I am statements. You see them along the bottom of each window. As we proceed, you'll also note that there are small nods to our local culture in many of the windows. And so as we proceed, we will contemplate each window, we'll hear a scripture passage, a short reflection, and then we'll sing a hymn that complements the theme. So I'm going to begin with the Good Shepherd window, and we're going to read from John chapter 10. The Good Shepherd window is located over on this side. We did the PowerPoint because it's hard to crane your neck and be able to see all the different windows. From verse 11 of John 10, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Well, in this first window, we see Jesus as shepherd, holding a shepherd's crook and a lamb in his arm. His sheep are gathered all about him. Recently, a confirmation student asked a question that made me smile just a bit. Why are we always being compared to sheep? Well, that's a pretty good question, right? I think the short answer is that sheep need the guidance and protection of the shepherd. Here's an example. I was reading online that in Eastern Turkey, 1,500 unattended sheep fell off a cliff while the shepherds were enjoying breakfast together. Oops. The first 400, unfortunately, fell to their death in the ravine. But thankfully, the remaining 1,100 were saved because the first 400 broke their fall. Ouch. Well, it's maybe not the most complimentary thing for God's people to be compared to a flock of sheep. But we all know that there are misguided moments and fearful moments in life when Jesus, as our good shepherd, is a very comforting image. You'll note in our window that there are several symbols that have special meaning. Among Jesus' flock, we see a black sheep. This is a reminder that we must leave room for the beautiful diversity of God's people within the church. A ram is also worked into the flock, representing the Rosal Rams mascot. And at Jesus' feet, you'll note there is a lady slipper growing, the Minnesota state flower. And so we'll continue now with our hymn, "The Lord's My Shepherd," and you'll find the verses in your bulletin. Is on the opposite side of the sanctuary. From John chapter 6, we read, "So they said to him, 'What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing?' 'Our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat.' Then Jesus said to them, 'Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world.' They said to him, 'Sir, give us this bread always.' Jesus said to them, 'I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty.'" In Jesus, the bread of life, we find a spiritual nourishment that fills and completes us. In the Last Supper, Jesus shared bread and wine with his disciples. The sacrament of Holy Communion is so central to our faith as believers. And so we see at the window's center a cup and wafer flanked by the elements of grapes and wheat. The word "Willkommen," or "welcome," is nestled beneath the communion cup. This is reflective of our Scandinavian heritage and is a reminder that there is a place for all at the table of our Lord. So the hymn we are going to sing now, the melody line, is printed in the bulletin. It may be a new one that you aren't familiar with. So I'm going to sing it one time through, and then you can join Rob and I the second time.
To the table of mercy, free.
of the World window. From John 8, verse 12, again Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. A particular feature in the writings of John is a contrasting of light and darkness. We received details of Jesus' birth through the writings of Matthew and Luke, the familiar birth narratives of Christ. But John's gospel, it refers to Christ's birth in more poetic terms. As the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. Or the light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. The I am the light of the world window reveals the light of the nativity star shining down upon the humble manger. A heralding angel hovers close, announcing the arrival of Jesus, the light of the world. And if you take special note of the star pictured in the window, it will call to mind our very own Polaris star. Let's sing now together, I Want to Walk as a Child of the Light. We read from the 15th chapter of John, verses 4 to 5. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. In this window, we see Jesus seated at the center. In his arms, he holds the colorful harvest that the vine and branch bring together. Without the vine, the branch does not bear fruit. This is a reminder that we bear abundant fruit only by dwelling in Christ, who is the vine, the source of our life. In the artist's representation, vines curl out from Christ's feet, even as the branches shoot outward from the center of the design. And I just like the little bit of nod, the pumpkin at Jesus' feet that we can all relate to. We may not all have grapes in our garden or some of those fruits, but many of us have grown pumpkins, and I like that expression of fruit. We sing now, For the Fruit of All Creation, two verses in your bulletin.
Thank you.
We move now to the I am the living water window. And we read Jesus' words from John chapter 4, verses 13 to 14. Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." This familiar scripture passage comes to us through Jesus' encounter with the Samaritan woman as she draws water from the village well. In his conversation with her, Jesus underscores that while earthly water temporarily fulfills physical thirst, the refreshment Jesus brings is a spiritual fulfillment that continually gushes forth, endlessly renewing us, even into eternal life. The living water window depicts a descending dove and tongues of fire representing the gift of the Holy Spirit given to us through the waters of our baptism. In the scene before us, aqua blue waters lap at the foot of tall cattail reeds, a familiar nod to our northern Minnesota wetlands. So now we sing Baptized and Set Free, verses 1 and 3. Sanctuary now. John chapter 14, 6 gives us words of Jesus. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." You will note in this window, here we see Christ, the sacrificial Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. The truth of Christ crucified is the way to life eternal. You'll note that the Lamb rests atop a representation of the globe. A flag of pure white emblazoned with a scarlet cross is symbolic of the Lamb's victory over death. The Holy Cross behind the Lamb is radiant with this glorious triumph. And in the background, we see earthly cities. And if you look closely, pictured to what would be the Lamb's right shoulder, there's a little building that has a steeple that is reminiscent of the steeple of the original Moe Lutheran. Back in the old country. I hadn't noticed that before. We now are going to sing You Are the Way, and I'm going to invite you to stand because you've been sitting a while, and we'll sing the first two verses of that. resurrection and the life. From John chapter 11, verse 25, Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live." The resurrection window portrays the risen Christ, draped in burial cloths, emerging from the tomb. The garden in which he was entombed is engulfed in his light. Jesus, you will see, extends the palms of his hands so that all may see his wounds and acknowledge his rising to new life. Resurrection signs surround him in the Easter lilies growing at the tomb's entrance and in the colorful butterfly fluttering before him. You'll note another contextual connection to northern Minnesota is found in the canola plant growing among the lilies at Christ's feet. We sing now verses 3 and 4 of "You Are the Way." Focus on. There are, of course, two more in the chancel area. That's for another day. But we go now to the "I am the beginning and the end" window. And we read from the book of Revelation, chapter 1. "To him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priests serving his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." This scripture comes to us from the book of Revelation rather than the book of John. And yet this passage reveals to us the all-encompassing nature of who Jesus is. Our Savior is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is the beginning, the end. He is everything in between. This is symbolized by the Alpha and Omega symbols, which are the first and the last letters of the Greek alphabet. The Christ figure in this window is dressed in royal robes with a kingly crown upon his head. He raises his hand to us in gracious blessing. The scene behind Christ is divided into thirds. In shades of deep green and hints of blue, the lower third is representative of our earthly home. The window's midsection is enveloped in rising clouds of azure blue, and the upper section reveals God's New Jerusalem in all its glory, our promised heavenly home. We sing now, "Crown Him with Many Crowns."